All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. A lot to do today. Today's daf is Kuf Yud Zayin 117, and we are picking up on the bottom of 116b, four lines up from the bottom, last word on the line. Tanya, Rashbi Omer. So let's remember again, we began the discussion yesterday about the different machanos, so the different areas within the Beis HaMikdash, and ultimately, again, that's manifest through where the particular karbanos are permitted to go ahead and be consumed. So Tanya, Rashbi Omer, we'll say three lines up from the bottom, Kufta Zayin 116b. Rashbi Omer, Od Acheres Haisa. So Shema Yochai says, there was another area inside of the Beis HaMikdash that was Kodesh, V'chel Ezras Noshim Hi. And I will say, this was the what's called the Chel Ezras Nashim, which is the courtyard. And I will say, understand, in the original formation of the Beis HaMikdash, so there wasn't a defined women's section. Later on, if you remember again from our Sukkot days, so Chazal made a Takana Gidola. The Takana Gidola was, they made a balcony for the women, because there was too much inappropriate socializing happening in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. Amazing to think, right? You would think in the Beis HaMikdash, people are people. So there was too much socializing happening in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash. So they made a balcony for the women in the courtyard. But before there was a balcony for the women, so they used to call the courtyard the Ezras Nashim. Although again, that name or that designation is a bit misleading, only because it was not exclusively for women. It was the general gathering area. So Rashbi says, Oda Charas Haisa Vechel Ezras Nashim Hi for the Hayu Onshin Aleha. And Rabbi said the halacha was that there was not liability, ultimately, again, for that particular area. Now, what that sounds like over here is that if you came in there with certain forms of tumah, then ultimately, again, there would not be liability for entering there. Ubishilo, lo hayu ela shnei machanos bilvad. And we'll say, in Shilo, there were only two machanos. So the Gemara says, now understand, whenever we think about the camp, so ultimately, again, we think about three camps. If first, I'll take a look at Rashi. Oda Charis Haisa, Machane Revias, Chaluka Meharabayas, Meazara, Velo Hayu Onshin Ala, Ala Nichnas, Betuma, Misakas Kelim, Mefarishla, He Chalkua Meharabayas. Fine. So whenever we think about the camps, so we think about, again, three machanos. Machane Shchina, Machane Levia, and Machane Yisrael. Now the Gemara says that in Shiloh, when Mishkan stood in Shiloh, there were only two camps. So the Gemara says, okay, Heimenayu Lohava. Which camp was not there? Some rabbi mistarba de Machane Levia havi. So the rabbi says, it would appear that Machane Levia was certainly there, that there was certainly a Machane Levia. These sagadaitcha Machane Levia lohavi, because we'll say ultimately again, if there was no Machane Levia, now, but before you turn the page, take a look at the last Rashi, Kofta Zainabud Beis, the Machane Levia miyahavi, u Machane Yisrael hu de chaser, de im lokein, the Machane Yisrael havi v'lo Machane Levia. So let's listen to this. So it must be that if the Gemara says that in Shiloh there were only two camps, and therefore one of them was missing, it must be that what? It must be that it was Machane Yisrael which was missing. That must be. Machane Yisrael which was missing. Top of Kof Yud Zayin. Why are both saying? So the Gemara says, the Isak Naitra Machane Levia lo havi. Because if you want to say there was no Machane Levia, top of Kof Yud Zayin, Nimsa Zavin Utimea Mason, Mishtalchen Chutz L'machane Achos. Then I will say it would turn out that both Zavin and Tamei Mason, so Zavin is a Zav, Tamei Mason are people who contract Tumah through contact with a corpse, would only be sent out of one camp. In other words, I will say, if there's no Machane Levia, then Zavin and Tamei are only being sent out of one camp, which is Machane Shechina. Take a look at the top Rashi, Kof Yud Zayin Amud Aleph. Named to Zavin Tamei Mason, Mishtalchen Chutz L'machane, Shechina, Levada, Dashneim Mutar Machane Yisrael, because we'll say both a Zav and a Tamei Meis are permitted to stay in Machane Yisrael. So if you're telling me that there's a missing Machane, the missing Machane ultimately again, if the missing Machane was Machane Levia, then it turns out that Zavin and Tamein are only being kicked out of one camp, which is Machane Shechina. And here's the problem. That Torah Amra, V'lo yitam u'es machanehem. Yet the Pasuk says, they shall not defile their camps. And what do we darshan from that? So Rashi says over here, machaneim is shnei machanos mashma. Machaneim is plural, two camps. Machana lezeh, tein machana lezeh, v'tein u'machana lezeh. There's one camp for this one, one camp for that one. Shavuot say indicates to us what. Look at Rashi, machaneim, shnei machanos mashma achas lechol zov v'achas lechol tamei nefesh elavadei hu machana leviyah. So we'll say, listen to this. So therefore, ultimately, again, if you're telling me that there was no machana levia, then by definition, each of these individuals, Zavan and Tmei Mason, would only be kicked out of one camp or exiled from one camp, which would have been machane shechina. And that's not possible because the Torah says machanehem, which indicates to us that at least one of them is pushed out of more than one camp. Amar Rabbi Rava. So Rava says as follows, Ela machane Yisrael. Rather, it must be what? It must be when the Torah says that, when the Gemara says that Shiloh only had two camps, it must be that what? That the missing camp was Machane Yisrael. Must be Machane Yisrael. To which the Gemara says, Nimtzu Zavin u'Mitzorain mishtachin l'makom echad. We'll say, therefore, it turned out that what? That Zavin and Mitzorain were actually sent to one place. In other words, they're both kicked out of Machane Shechina and Machane Leviyah to some other place. Vatora Amra Badad Yeshev. Yet, Rabbi Yossi, when it comes to the Mitzorah, the Torah explicitly says that the Mitzorah sits alone. Now, what does it mean the Mitzorah sits alone? That he is exiled somewhere that none of the other Tameim are exiled. So, which the Gemara says, Shelo Yeshev Tamei Acher Imo, that another person who is Tamei should not reside with the Mitzorah. So we'll say, so remember again, we're just trying to figure out a very simple idea here, which is the Gemara made a statement, or Rashbi made a statement, that in Shiloh, there were only two machanos, which again, so we assume the classic model of Klal Yisrael is Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael. It can't be that Machane Leviyah is missing, right? Because then ultimately Zavid and Tmein are only exiled from one camp. Can't be that Machane Yisrael is missing because Zavid and Mitzorain are then exiled to the same place, right? And therefore, it can't be, right? And therefore, again, and you can't have that because the Mitzorah ultimately, again, has a din of Badad Yeshev, has to live alone. So what does it mean when we say that ultimately, again, there are only two camps? Eli Olam Kulut Lasava. Rather, you're right. You know, I'll say, even in Shiloh, all three camps were present, right? Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael. Aye, so what does it mean? Umay, lo hayu ela shtei machanos. So we'll say, so then what does it mean when Rashbi said before that there are only two machanos, to which the Gemara says, l'klita. Ultimately, again, it means for klita purposes. Now, what does that mean? Look at Rashi. Ela kulu havi. It's almost right across in Rashi. Udiktani lo hayu ela shtei machanos le'inyin klitahu denestalka toras machane leviya me'liklot im esa hargim shogei. We'll say this is amazing. What it means is, and we're going to see this in just a moment, under normal circumstances, Machane Leviyah acts as an ir miklot. Right? We'll say again, there are cities of refuge. And again, amongst this, there are six official designated cities of refuge. But in addition to the six official cities of refuge, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, all of the Levitic cities were also cities of refuge. So basically, the Gemara says over here is as follows: and halacha lemaisa, machane leviya also acts as an ir miklot. What Rashbi is saying is the idea that machane leviya works as an ir miklot did not apply in Shiloh. So again, there are still three camps: Machane Shechina, Machane Leviyah, Machane Yisrael. So what does Rashbi mean when he said that in Shiloh there are only two camps? He meant that Machane Leviyah did not work as an ir miklot. So the Gemara says, Michlal, Tebe Midbar, Havi Kalta Machane Leviyah. Are you telling me then that in the deserts, that Machane Leviyah did work as an ir miklot? To which the Gemara says, In. Yes, that is correct. In the desert, Machane Leviyah worked as an ir miklot. Vatanya, so the Gemara says, I'll prove this to you. V'samti l'cha makom b'chayecha. Bosei, Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, when speaking about the Irmiklot, Vashel Otzadel Akimino Yodo, Visanti Lacha Makom. So, what's in an incredible drasha? Ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, "V'santi l'cha makom, I will make for you a space, b'chayecha. I will make for you an ir miklat, which ultimately, again, will take effect even during your lifetime." Look at Rashi, l'cha makom, ha-makom shalcha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, your place. What? Moshe Rabbeinu is a Levi. What's his place? His place is Machane Leviyah. Dahainu Machane Leviyah, af hu niklat. So we'll say, so therefore, again, even in the Midbar, which is interesting, by the way, because it appears, as we're going to see in just a moment, that there were accidental killings in the Midbar as well. And therefore, Halacha L'maaseh, Machane Leviyah acts as an ir miklat. This was true, ultimately, again, in the desert, but was not true in Shiloh, according to Rashbi. So the Gemara Santa Makom Bechayacha Makom Makom Makomcha. So we'll say ultimately Asher Yanos Shama. So remember again, your very Makom, i.e. Machane Leviyah, will ultimately again be serve as an ir miklat while you are in the desert. Asher Yanos Shama. So we'll say if somebody accidentally kills another person, he could flee to this ir miklat. Melamed Shemagalan Bemidbar. Also, this teaches us that there was a din of galus in the desert. That ultimately, again, if somebody accidentally killed another individual in the Midbar, then what? Then halacha lemaisa, again, they would go to galus. Lehechad golin. So we'll say, but again, and this is actually fascinating. If someone accidentally killed another person in the Midbar, so where do they go to galus? Remember again, in Eretz Yisrael, we have 6 established cities, and the 40-plus Levitic cities also served as Ari Miklat. If you killed someone accidentally in the desert, where did you go? To which the Gemara says, Lehechon Golin, Lemachana Leviyah. Ultimately, again, you went to Machane Leviyah. That was the ir miklat in the desert. Mikan Amru, Rabosef, from here Chazal said, Ben Levi, Shaharag, so Rabosef, Ben Levi killed someone, accidentally killed another person, Gola, Miplach, Leplach. So we'll say this is actually amazing. So ultimately, again, what does this actually is Gemara Maseches Makos, as Rashi points out. But again, what happens if a Ben Levi accidentally kills another person? Ben Levi kills someone. So where does he go? Where does he go? He goes from one Levitic city to another Levitic city. Take a look at Rashi. Mikan Amru Ben Levi, Shahayadai Ba'ari Miklat, Shekalar Ban Mishmar Yerushalavim Ari Miklat Hayu. So it says, remember again, a Ben Levi, technically speaking, is living in one of the Levitic cities. The 48 Levitic cities already have the designation as an Ir Miklat. Unfortunately, the Levi kills someone accidentally. Where does he go? Kedemim Sagas Makas, Vim Harag Shogit Bishogig, Gola Le'echad Me'ari Chavero. The Darish Beit Nami. So we'll say, ultimately, again, there are 2 drushas that are made over here. V'samti l'cham makom means even the Levim are subject to the din of galus for accidentally killing someone. And where does a Levi go if he accidentally kills? Remember, again, technically, a Levi is already living in an ir miklat. So where does he go if he accidentally kills someone? And the answer is he goes to another Levitic city. Vim gala lipalcho. Palcho Kolto. But I will say, listen to this, if instead of leaving his own city, he just relocates to another neighborhood in his own city, that works as well. So Allah says, even if he doesn't leave the city in its totality, but he just goes ahead and he just picks up and moves to another neighborhood, that is sufficient. Mikra, what's the pasuk that supports this idea? Amar Rav Acha Amar Rav Ika, ki bi'ir mikla to yeshev, ir shekal tasel kvar. Because I will say, ultimately, again, the pasuk says, when speaking about the din of the person who kills b'shogeg, ki bi'ir mikla to yeshev ad mosa kohen gadol. He will sit in the city of his refuge. So as I say, the idea over here, bi'ir mikla to, the Gemara Darshans, bi'ir shekal tasel kvar, the city which had already absorbed him. What does it mean, the city which had already absorbed him? This refers to a Ben Levi who is already living in a Levitic city. He's already living in a city of refuge. And therefore, again, if he, chas v'shalom, accidentally kills someone, I will say, so again, he has a choice. Choice number one is relocate to a different Levitic city, or apparently, even within the same city that he's currently residing in, which is already in Ir Miklat, he could go ahead and relocate to a new neighborhood. Therefore, I was like kind of closing the circle on this. When Rashbi said that Shiloh only had two camps, he didn't literally mean two camps. In other words, Shiloh also had Machane Shechina, Machane Levia, Machane Yisrael. So what was different in Shiloh is that when it came to Shiloh, the Machane Levia did not offer refuge. For again, the Gemara doesn't, Rashbi doesn't tell us why this is, but apparently, again, this was one of the differences in Shiloh. Machane Levia was there, but it did not serve as an Ir Miklat. Obviously, you have all of the other Ari Miklat, all the other Levitic cities, all the other designated six cities of refuge, but not Machane Levia. Bo the Gilgal. So remember again, when they came to Gilgal, so remember again, just to point this out historically, so remember, Gilgal is actually the first stop when they came into Eretz Yisrael. The Mishnah says, Bo'u leGilgal. So remember again, Gilgal is the first stop when we empty. Klal Yisrael crosses the Yarden, they come to Gilgal. That is the first stop where the Mishkan was for 14 years. During the 7 years of Kibush and Chiluk, ultimately the Mishkan is in Gilgal. What happens in Gilgal? So the Mishnah said, Huchu Abamos. Ultimately, again, personal bamos, personal altars become permitted. So Kachi Kadoshin, or Rosaik, had to be eaten in the curtains of the Mishkan, and Kachim Kalim could be eaten anywhere. So comes to Gilgal, this is what we call Heter Bamos. Bamos become permitted again. So the Gemara will say, now we're going to spend a little bit of time speaking about this. Kol Nidar V'nidev Hayakarav Bebama. So both say the Pasuk says, the Gemara says, excuse me, that when it came to Gilgal, and ultimately, again, Bamos were permitted, personal altars were permitted, what do you offer on a personal altar? Nidarim and Nidavos. Voluntary offerings. Voluntary offerings are offered up on Bamos. Hayakari Bebama. Shein Nidar V'nidav, excuse me, Shein Nidar V'nidav, Ein Karav Bebama. But say, if something is not a neder or a nedava, then ultimately, again, it is not offered up on a bama. Take a look at Rashi for just a moment. Kol anida v'nidav karav bebama. Rashi says, kitana. Anything that is pledged or a voluntary offering is offered up on a bama. On a bama, what we call a bama kitana. Di lebama gidola al karchach karvu chovas tzibor d'chsi v'yasu as ha-pesach b'gilgal. Ella biktana, varmint karvi nedarim and nedavos v'locholos v'taras kani and tarev. So let's listen to this. So now the Gemara is saying as follows: on the bama ketana, all you were able to offer was what we call nedarim and nedavos, voluntary offerings. You cannot offer up obligatory offerings on a bama ketana. Where do you offer up your obligatory offerings? The pashtos on the bama gedola, which again, remember, we're referring to the period of history in Gilgal. Mincha unezirus craven bebama. Furthermore, again, I'm about to say a mincha, as well as the carbon of a nazir, which Rashi understands over here to be a neder and a nidav. Now, why is the carbon of a nazir considered to be a neder? Because Rabbi say nazirus is a neder. See, don't get confused. According to this approach in the Gemara, even though once I become a nazir, I have an obligation to bring carbonos, but I get myself into the Nazirus, right? Remember again, Nazirus is the result of me taking a vow. So because of that, it is considered to be a vow offering. So therefore, again, the first opinion says that you could offer up Menachos as a Neder and a Dava, as well as your Karbanos of Nazirus. So I will say, this is the sheet of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir holds that on a Bama Ketana personal altar, Nidarim and Nedavos, all obligatory offerings are done on the Bama Gidola, the large Bama, the large Mizbeach, which was in Gilgal. And on the Bama Ketana, you could also offer up Menachos and your Karbanos for Nazirus, because we'll say those are considered to be the Darim and the Davos as well. But Chum the Chum say no. Lo Karvu Yachid Ella Olos Ushlam and Bilbag. We'll say the Chum disagree, the Chum say no. The only thing you could offer up on a Bama Ketana is what I will say? Olos and Shlamim, i.e., No menachos, and no karbanos of nezirus. Rabbi Yehuda, says, Kol shat tzibor vayochen makrivin ba'ohel moed shebemidbar, makrivin bi'ohel moed shebegilgal. So Rabbi Yehuda, at first glance, doesn't seem to really be disagreeing with what we said before, although we'll get further into it. He says, anything that the tzibor, the congregation, offered up, whatever the tzibor and individuals were able to offer up in the ohel moed in the midbar, in the mishkan in the midbar, makriven ba'ohel moed shebegilgal, they're able to offer up ultimately again in the mishkan in Gilgal. Ma bein o amoyed shel midbar le bein o amoyed shel Gilgal. So we'll say, if that's the case, what is the difference between the Mishkan in the midbar and the Mishkan in Gilgal? Here we go. O amoyed shel midbar lo hayu bamos mutaros. We'll say, here's a simple distinction. When we were in the desert, personal altars, bamos, were aser. O amoyed shel Gilgal, hayu habamos mutaros. We'll say, when we were in Gilgal, ultimately, again, personal altars are mutar. So we'll say, ubamaso, so that's a simple distinction that so far everyone has subscribed to. And I want to point out, no one is disagreeing with anything that Rabbi Huda has said. Ubamaso shebarosh gago, but we'll say, so now what about in Gilgal? Now, bamos are permitted. Bamos are, now we'll say, I also want to point out, we never have actually discussed the reason for this distinction. In other words, why is, obviously, the cloud that we're seeing is that whenever the Mishkan is enjoying a state of permanence, bamos are aser. Whenever it's clearly impermanent, ultimately, again, bamos are mutter. So the logic behind that, we have to still see. We know the cloud, we know the principle. The logic we'll see. So Gemara says as follows. So now, again, remember, we're still in Rabbi Huda's Shita. So Rabbi Huda essentially is saying is that the Mishkan in Gilgal is like the Mishkan in the Midbar. Whatever individuals, the collective, was able to offer up in the desert, they were able to offer up in Gilgal. What's there between Gilgal and the Midbar? In Gilgal, bamos are mutter. In the midbar, bamos were aser. Ubamaso sheverosh kago. And we'll say, when it came to the bama you built on your roof. Now, what does it mean, the bama you built on your roof? Your personal bama. When it came to your personal bama, lo haya makriv ala ela ola ushlamim. So we'll say, Rabbi Huda seems to agree with the Chachamim, who says that on a personal altar, what we call a bama kitana, on a bama kitana, all you are able to offer up is ola and shlamim. We'll say Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph 117a, four lines up from the bottom. So we'll say, so again, on your personal bama, all you could offer up is Ola and Shlamim. I will say, now that sounds exactly like Rabbi Yehuda. V'racham v'chachamim say, Kol Shat Sibor Makriven Bi'o Amoyed Sheva Midbar, Makriven Bi'o Amoyed Sheva Gilgal. V'racham also agree, anything that Sibor was able to offer up in the desert, in the Mishkan, they were able to offer up in Gilgal. Now, Bose, if you notice, can the Chachamim say that ultimately, again, this refers to the Tzibor. The Chachamim aren't commenting over here on the Yachid. As from a Tzibor perspective, anything the congregation was able to offer up in the Midbar, they could also offer up in Gilgal. Kan v'kan lo karvu Yachid. Now, Bose, now both here and there. Now, if you look at Rashi, what does it mean, both here and there? Kan, or I should say, here and here. Kan v'kan, Rashi. Four lines up from the bottom in Rashi. Bamas tzibar u'bamas yachid, lo karva lahen liyachid ala olos u'shlamim. So both say, but comes on the Chacham and they say, both by a bamas tzibar and a bamas yachid, individuals were only able to go ahead and offer up olos and shlamim. So the Gemara says, v'kan v'kan lo karva yachid ala olos u'shlamim bilvad. Rabbi Shimon says, Afat Sibor lo hikrivu ela psachim. Rabbi says, it's actually very interesting. V'chovo shakavo lenzman. But before you turn the page. So, comes along Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, Rabbi says, even the Sibor, right? Even now, this is talking about Gilgal. So Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, in Gilgal, even the Tzibor was limited. Say, up until now, pretty much all the shitos that we espoused, all the shitos that we quoted, seem to indicate that at least from a Tzibor perspective, Gilgal was no different than the desert. Right? Gilgal was no different than the Mishkan and the Midbar. Rabbi Shimon comes along and says, yes, it was. That in Gilgal, not only were there limitations on the Yachid, there were also limitations on the Tzibor. How so? Says Rabbi Shimon, Aft Tzibor lo ekriva el psachim. Look at the last Rashi on the Daf Rabbah. So before you turn, el psachim, avalo parha elam davar, usiri avodos kochavim, lo karvu lahem begilgal. So Rabbi Shimon has a very interesting shita. Rabbi Shimon says, the only communal obligatory offerings which were offered in Gilgal were the psachim, karban pesach, and now amud beis, v'chovos, shekavua lahen zman. And I will say, other obligatory offerings that were time-bound. That were time-bound, so which again, Pesach falls into that same category as well. Essentially, only time-bound obligatory offerings were sacrificed in Gilgal. Other communal offerings were not presented. So we'll say, this is a very dramatic shita. Because again, remember, as I just mentioned before, everyone else up until this point has been of the mindset that from a communal perspective, Gilgal is the same thing as the desert. Rabbi Shimon is the first one to make this distinction, even by the Tzibor. My time is Rabbi Meir. So we'll say, now we're going to go back and analyze all of the opinions that we just quoted above. So remember again, the first opinion was the opinion of Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir said that in Gilgal, they were only able to offer up Nidarim and Nidavos. This too on the Bama Kitana, on a personal altar, all you could offer up is a Neder and a Nidava. Rabbi Meir ultimately again expanded that to also include what? Menachos and Nezirus. So Rabbi Meir says Nidarim and Nidavos, and he has an expansive view of Nidarim and Nidavos to include a Karba Mincha as well as a Neder for Nezirus. So my time to Rabbi Meir. So says the Gemara, where does Rabbi Meir get this from? To Amarkra, because the positive, as Rabbi said, this is actually amazing. Bosasun kichol anash anachnu osim po hayom. So the pasuk says, most of this is by the way, this is this week's parasha, right? So ultimately, again, the pasuk says, "Remeir lo sasun kichol asher nachnu osim po hayom." So ultimately, again, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, you cannot do that which we are doing here today. Now, what does that mean? Amar lan Moshe Yisrael. So we'll say Moshe says to Klal Yisrael. So actually, before we get to that, take a look at Rashi. Kichol asher anachnu. First of all, lo sasun. So we'll say, here's what's interesting. Moshe Rabbeinu was sitting at Tarkat Klal Yisrael in the Transjordanian lands. And what does he say to them? You're going to cross over the Jordan, and I have to tell you something. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, you cannot do in Eretz Yisrael what we are doing here. In other words, in Eretz Yisrael, sacrificial service will look different. Now, we understand Moshe Rabbeinu is referring to the immediate time of entering Eretz Yisrael, the 14 years of conquering and dividing up the land. So Rashi says, this is amazing. Sha'anu, so Moshe Rabbeinu says, you know, we have the good life. What does that mean? Sha'anu, bein betzibor, bein biyachid, makrivin chatos, va'ashamos, ubechar, umayser, shein chovos, shein kavu alahem zman. So Moshe Rabbeinu said, look, when we're in the desert, pretty much, if it doesn't move, we sacrifice it, right? Meaning we offer up everything. Right? Time-bound, not time-bound, sin offerings, all different kinds of things. We offer up all different kinds of karbanos here in the desert.
Aval, ma anu osim sham, ish kala yashar ve'inov. Hayochel lo yikrav sham eler nedarim unedavos sheyishru be'inav lindar velindov ad masai ki labasim ad shetavol l'shido. So we'll say, so Moshe Rabbeinu says like this. Right now in the desert, we offer up everything. But when you go into Eretz Yisrael, so we'll say the end of the pasuk is lo sasun kichal she'anachnu osim po hayom ish kol hayashar be'inav. So the way the Gemara is dashing the pasuk is, when you go into Eretz Yisrael, you can't go ahead and do everything that we do here today. Rather, what? Only thing you can do is ish kol hayashar be'enav. So I'll say, what does that phrase mean? Watch this. So Amar lahem Moshe Yisrael, ki elisu la'aretz, we'll say, kuf yud zayin amud beis, 117b, four lines down. When you go into Eretz Yisrael, yisharos, or yashros takrivu, chovos lo sakrivu. We'll say, you can offer up yashros. Now, Yashros, Rashi says, are Nidarim unidavos. You could offer up, again, that's the Lashon of the Pasuk, Ish kol hayashar be'inav. You could offer up, again, Yashros, which I'm also referred to optional offerings, Nidarim and Nidavos, but Chobos lo sakrivu. But you are not permitted to go ahead and offer up obligatory offerings. Now, what is this referring to? Now, remember, this is Rabbi Meir. So Rabbi Meir is referring to individuals. As an individual, I can't offer up obligatory offerings. He's not commenting on the tzibor. Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that the tzibor's service in Gilgal mirrors that which was done in the desert. So look at Rashi. Chobos lo sakrivu hayichidim. The ish ksiv velo polikrav ben gedola ben kitana, dil yachid lo krav ele nidar venadiv. Hilchach, shein nidar venadiv, in krav bebam is yachid, doi kad she tzibor krev. So also listen to this. Moshe is telling them, alt the tzibor, in terms of the congregation, so your sacrificial service remains unchanged. Whatever you did as a community in the desert, you could do as a community in Gilgal. What does change Rabbi Osai? So Moshe tells them two things. Number one, you're going to Eretz Yisrael in Gilgal, bamos become permitted. Personal altars are permitted, but personal altars have limitations. What are the limitations? Ish kol hayashar be'inav. Yashrus, right? Optional offerings. Nedarim and nedavos can be offered up on your bamos yachid. Obligatory offerings cannot be offered up on your bamos yachid. Menachos and nezirus, Yashros Ninu, and Rav Moshe Rabbeinu is of the opinion that a Karban Mincha, as well as a Neder Nisi, excuse me, as well as Karbanos of Nazirus, are also considered to be vow offerings or gift offerings, because as Rav Moshe said, there's two pieces of information embedded in that. Number one, that a mincha can be brought as in a dava, and number two, that since becoming a nazir is a neder, is an optional process that one undertakes, therefore, although when I become a nazir, that triggers karbonic obligation, we don't look at those karbanos as obligatory karbanos, we look at them as voluntary karbanos, since I voluntarily undertook the process of nazirus. So we'll say, this is the shita of Rabbi Meir. Communal service is the same in Gilgal as it was in the desert. Moshe Rabbeinu says just one change, ish kala yashar be'inav. You could offer up optional offerings on your bamas yachid, but not obligatory offerings. V'rabbanan. So the Rabbanan disagree with Rabbi Meir at one point. They agree with everything except one point. V'rabbanan, ein mincha be'bama, nezirus chovos ninu. So they actually disagree on 2 points. Number one, the Rabbanan say, you can't offer up menachos on a bamas yachid, only olos and shlamin. That's number one, no mincha on a bama. And number two point they disagree with is Rabbo say that they hold that nezirus is considered to be an obligatory offering. So Rabbo say, which is an interesting idea. Why do they say that nezirus is an obligatory offering? Because once you become a nazir, then what? You have an obligation to bring a karban. So Rabbo say, it's actually interesting. There's probably definitely some dvar hashkafa in this also. That Rabbi Meir almost says, because you got yourself into this, even though your decision got yourself into the Nazirus, even though it triggers an obligatory carbon, we look at the whole thing ultimately again as a neder. The Rabbanan say, no, at the end of the day, there's an obligation upon you, despite the fact that you chose this, the carbon itself is obligatory. Okay, so the Rabbanan both say agree in principle with Rabbi Meir Shitos, which is communal service is the same in Gilgal as it was in the desert. Bamas Yochid is permitted. On a Bamas Yachid, all you're permitted to bring are optional karbanos. Where do they disagree? Number one, you can't bring a mincha. Number two, that the karban for a nazir, they hold as an obligatory offering, not a neder and a dava. Fine. Amar Shmuel. So Shmuel says, Machlokes bechatas va'ashon. So Shmuel says that the Machlokes, ultimately again, the Machlokes is with the chatas and the nashon. Aval ba'olos ushlamim divrei akol yashros ninuvakarvi. But also when it comes to an olo and a shlamim, everyone agrees that they are optional offerings, and therefore again they can be offered. Look at Rashi, Rabbi say machlokes. It's in the wider lines of Rashi, like right in the middle of those lines. Machlokes. So say the Gemara now says as follows. Or I should say Shmuel says as follows. When Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan disagree when it comes to nazir, right? Remember again, Rabbi Meir said that you could offer up a nazir offering on a bama, versus the Rabbanan who said you can't. Shmuel comes along and frames that machlokes. He says that machlokes is regarding the chatas and the asham of nazir. So remember again, both sides, the nazir brings multiple karbanos. Amongst them, a chatas and an asham and ola and a shlamim. So the Gemara says as follows: the machlokes Rabbi Meir and the chachamim is only when it comes to the chatas and the asham of nazir. Rabbi Meir says you can bring that. The chachamim say no, that's obligatory. But when it comes ultimately again to the ola and the shlamim, everyone agrees that what? That halach lamaisa, those are considered to be optional kabanos, and therefore again they can be offered up. Mosiv Rabba, so Rabba is the kasha, chazei b'shok, utrumas lach metoda, nogin b'bama gedola, v'yinogin b'bama kitanas. We'll say now, Rabba brings up a shayla. We'll say chazei b'shok, ultimately again, is the chest and the thigh, which is a part of the carbon which is given to the carbon. So bless you. Rashi says over here, chazei b'shok, Hamura mishlamim betoda va'arba. So we'll say this is ultimately, so the chazei b'shok is taken from a shlamim or from a carbon toda, or shumas lach metoda, which I will say are the four loaves that ultimately are given to the coin from a carbon toda. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Nogin b'bama gidola ve'nogin b'bama kitana. These types of karbanos are only brought on a large centralized communal altar and are not brought ultimately again on a private altar. Ve'ilu, listen to this. Ve'ilu hazra b'sheh l'shayra. Rabbi say, now what's missing from this list? For Solo Kitrashi for just a moment. Ve'inogim ba'makitana, garcina b'sol pirkin, d'chsibu l'hanif t'nuf al-Hashem. V'lo ha'baras, listen to this. So the idea is, these offerings of chazei b'shok, of a shlamim, or a todah, and the loaves are the carbon todah, don't only apply an abba megidol and abosan. Now the reason Rashi points out over there is because when it comes to these karbanos, the Torah uses the lashon of lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem teaches you that they can only take place on the mizbeach, which is lifnei Hashem, which is the large mizbeach, but not on your own private altar. Now Rashi points out the ilu mura me'el nazir da'hanu zor b'sheila shaira v'lo tanya shvamina lo karvi shami nazir b'am. So also listen to this. Now what is missing? Now, what's missing from this list? What's missing from this list, Rabosei, is what we call the Zerua B'Sheila, which is the part of the Nazir's carbon which is consumed. So yeah, this is missing. So Rabosei, what if it's missing, it's telling me what? It's telling me that the carbon of a Nazir was not offered up on a Bama. So Rabosei, so comes along Rabba is coming along, Rabba's coming along and he's saying, Shmuel, you said that both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim agree that the shlamim and the olos of the nazir are offered up even on a bama kitana. They were only arguing on the chatas and an asham. Comes along Rabba, and Rabba says, what are you talking about? It seems to be that nothing of the nazir was offered up on the bama. Of a haraya, it's not included in this list over here. I amrit bishlama ba'olu shlamim pligi hamari rabbanani. So if you want to say that they argue in the case of olu and shlamim by a nazir, then you can see Rabba say, who's the pain does this reflect? This is the rabbanan. Because I will say, you could say, again, if you don't subscribe to Shmuel's understanding of the machlokas, and you understand that when the Chachamim say, the Rabbanan say that you can't offer up a Nazir on a Bama Kitana, let me say that differently, you can't offer up a Nazir, that Nazir can't offer up his Karbanos on a Bama Kitana, that refers to all Karbanos, then the Braisa makes sense. Because the Braisa is saying, no Karbanos of a Nazir offered up on a Bama Kitana. Whose opinion does that reflect? That's the Rabbanan. If you say that Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanan only argue on the chatas and an asham of a nazir, but they agree that the ola and the shlamim of a nazir is offered up, then Rabbi Meir says, whose opinion does the Braisa reflect? Rather, here's how you have to explain it. Amar Shmuel, machlokes ba'ola u'shlamim. Rabbi Meir says, the machlokes are Meir and the Rabbanan. When it comes to a nazir, is a machlokes regarding the ola and the shlamim of the nazir offering. Aval bechatas va'asham divrei hakol chovos ninhu v'lo karvi. Rabbi, when it comes to a chatas and an asham, everyone, even Rabbi Meir, will agree that those are considered to be obligatory offerings, and therefore what? Therefore not offered up on the Mizbeach. So we'll say, this is actually amazing. So now we're reframing the Machlokas a little bit. So remember again, Rabbi Meir and the Chacham Rabbi say agree in principle on the major ideas, which is that what? That when they came to Gilgal, Bama Kitana is permitted. What can you offer up on a Bama Kitana? What can you offer up? Nedarim and Nedavos. Rabbi Meir takes it a step further. He says a Nazir could offer up his Karbanos as well as a Karban Mincha. Rabbanan come along and say, no Mincha on a Bama Kitana, and we also disagree with you with the Nazir. Says Shmuel, what do they disagree with? Let's start with what they agree with. They agree that the Nazir can't offer up his Chatas and his Asham on that Mizbeach. That they agree with, Rabbosai. So why? Because those are considered to be obligatory offerings. Where is their machlokes? Their machlokes, Rabbosai, is in the case of olos and shlamim. Rabbi Meir says the ola and the shlamim of a nazir can be offered up on the mizbeach, whereas the rabbanim say they can't. Amar Mar, v'cham v'cham say, kol she'et tzibar makriven bi'ohel. So also remember again, so the chachamim were of the opinion that anything that the tzibar was able to offer up in the Mishkan in the desert, they're able to offer up in the Almighty in the Mishkan in Gilgal. So my time, Rabbanan. So we'll say, what's the logic of the Rabbanan? What's the logic of the Rabbanan? Why is it that from a communal perspective, so I should say sacrificial service in Gilgal mirrors that which was done in the desert? My time, the Rabbanan. Amakra, ish hayasher be'inav ya'aseh. Because we'll say, the Pasuk says, that a person, that ish kalyasha be'inav ya'aseh, person could do whatever was right in their eyes. Is the Gemara says, Ish Yashrus Hudalikrov, Chovos Lodlikrov. Bosei teaches me that what? It teaches me that Halachal Maisa Rabosei, now this is in Sefer Shoftim under Yehoshua. So the Pasuk is telling you that everyone did which was Yashar Be'inav. So he's kind of building on the drasha we had before by Moshe Rabbeinu. That Ish Kala Yashar Be'inav, Yashar Rabosei refers to what? Yashros refers to optional offerings, right? Non obligatory offerings. Ish Yashar Be'inav Yase, Ish Yashros Hudalikrov. Individuals, Rabbi Yosef, were offering up on their bamas ketanos, so they were only able to do what? Yashros. They were only able to offer up optional offerings, nedarim and nedavos, However, again, they could not offer up obligatory offerings. But the tzibor afilu chovos likrov. They also said the tzibor was permitted to offer what? Even obligatory offerings. So say, this is the sheet of the Rabbanon. Therefore, again, because it always says ish kalayashar be'inav yaseh, I should say, or ish kalayashar be'inav, or ish hayashar be'inav, only ish individuals are able to offer up optional offerings, but not obligatory offerings. But the tzibur is permitted to go ahead and continue to offer up obligatory offerings. So we'll say, top of Kuf Yud Ches, I have Rabbi Yehuda Amar Lecha. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda who says, now remember, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, we'll say, that's what? That individuals were permitted to offer up obligatory offerings in Gilgal as well. Now, Rabbi say, now let's qualify this. According to Rabbi Yehuda, everyone agrees that on a Bamas Yachid, on an individual altar, you can only go ahead and offer up optional offerings. That everyone agrees with. Rabbi Yehuda, now Rabbi say, the Rabbanon now are saying that even on the Bama Gedola, even on the central altar in the Mishkan and Gilgal, only communal obligatory offerings may be sacrificed. Individuals cannot offer up obligatory offerings even on the Bama in Gilgal, even on the central Bama. Rabbi Yehuda comes along and says, no, that the individual has the ability to offer up, he can't offer up obligatory offerings on his own Bama, but where can he offer up obligatory offerings? In the major Bama in Gilgal. So Rabbi Yehuda will say as follows. We'll also look at Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda. Do amar yochid nami makriv chovos begidola. Rabbi Yehuda holds that an individual can go ahead and offer up obligatory offerings on the centralized altar in Gilgal. So he will say the following. Amar lecha, kiksiv hayashar be'inav hu dichsiv. So we'll say ultimately again, when do we say kalayashar be'inav? Rashi says, "Amar lecha ki ksiv hayasha dememayit yochid me'akravos chovos a be'inav ksiv." Bosei, that refers to enav. Enav, Rabbi Huda means enav. Rabbi Huda understands is a reference to what? Bama Kitana, his own personal altar. So ish kal hayashar be'inav. Ultimately, again, when can you go ahead and offer up only optional offerings? That's on your own personal altar. Ava be'bama gidola. Afilu chovos nami likrov. Rabbi says, "Abama gidola, even an individual ultimately again has the ability to offer up obligatory offerings." So we'll say when we'll stop over here for today, but we end off again in the midst really of a raging machlokas. Pretty much everyone agrees that on Bamas Yachid, individual altar, you can only offer up Nedarim and Nedavos. That seems to be agreed upon. Ultimately, again, what constitutes Nedarim and Nedavos for the Machlokes in Rabbi Meir and the Rabbanon? And now we're introduced to the interesting Shita of Rabbi Huda. So the Rabbanon holder will say, that what? That when it came to Gilgal, so individuals are capped at Nedarim and Nedavos. That's all you could offer. That's true on the Bama in Gilgal. That's true on your personal Bama. Rabbi Huda says, no, on your personal Bama, only the Nedarim and Nedavos. But even in Gilgal, the individual had the ability to come to Gilgal and offer up obligatory offerings on the centralized Mizveach in Gilgal. And I'm going to continue with this tomorrow. Thank you.